David will be presenting on the planting Jake effect on soybean sudden death syndrome, development, and yield loss. Thanks, David.
Yep. Right. Thank you, Nathan. Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is David Marburger, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And this afternoon, I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the work that I've been doing. As Nathan mentioned, looking at planting date effect on soybean sudden death syndrome development and yield loss. And before I get started, I want to acknowledge my two co-authors, my minor professor, Dr. Damon Smith, and also my major professor, Dr. Sean Conley, or some of you may know him better by his alias, which is the cool bean guy. So soybean sudden death syndrome is a disease caused by Fusarium virgiliforme. It was first found in Arkansas in 1971, and since then it has spread to much of the soybean growing regions of the U.S. And that's depicted here in this figure on the right, as you can see, by the number of states, as well as the year in which this disease has been found and confirmed. And since its discovery, it has become one of the top yield-suppressing diseases on soybean. Now, Fusarium virgiliforme is a soil-borne fungus. It likes cool and wet soil conditions. That's what favors infection, and so those conditions are often associated with early planting dates, but infection takes place on the roots. However, we don't see symptom development until later in the growing season, more closely to R3 into R5. And if you were to go out at that time and dig up a plant, you may see the fungus, if I can get it, growing on the roots. And the fungus is purple to bluish color, and those are the spores of the fungus. The symptoms are a result of a toxin that's produced by the fungus and translocated to the top of the plant. And as a result, we get interveinal chlorosis, which quickly turns into interveinal necrosis, followed by a potentially premature defoliation. And in severe cases, this premature defoliation can cause up to 75% to close to 100% yield loss. However, in terms of looking at it, this is a soil-borne pathogen, so its distribution in the field is often patchy. Therefore, looking at it in terms of across the field, an average yield loss is more likely going to be 5 to 15%. In terms of controlling SDS, we currently don't have very many good tools in our toolbox. For crop rotation, this isn't necessarily a good tactic because this fungus can survive for years in the soil. Foliar fungicide use doesn't work because our pathogen is located below the soil surface. And as another note, prior to this growing season, we did not have any good seed treatment options for trying to control this pathogen as well. In terms of tillage, results have been mixed in terms of depth and type. However, doing things that can alleviate compaction as well as improve soil moisture have been shown to reduce symptom development. Currently, our best management strategy is through cultivar selection, and there are some cultivars out there that have a good ability to not allow symptoms to develop. And then finally, the other thing we can do is delay planting date. If we can wait just a little bit, instead of planting into those cool and wet soil conditions, if we can wait till the soil maybe warms up or dry out just a little bit, that has been shown to reduce SDS symptom development. And some of this work was done in the early to mid-1990s. However, in those studies, they used planting dates that didn't start until mid to late May. And since that time, we've seen that our planting dates are trending earlier into more early May. So we wanted to revisit this question, is how does planting date, more specifically, how does these earlier planting dates in mid-May affect SDS development and then yield loss? So our objective was to quantify the planting date and cultivar effects on SDS development and yield loss. So in other words, we're planting early, using more of that early May planting date, and knowing we're increasing our risk of having disease develop, will that lead to higher yields instead of delaying our planting and knowing that we might reduce disease development? So this was a two-year study done at the Hancock Ag Research Station, which is an irrigated location. It was done during 2013 to 2014. The experimental design was a randomized complete block in a split plot arrangement with four replications. The main plot, or our whole plot, were three target planting dates, May 1, May 20th, and June 10th. Our subplots consisted of 10 cultivars ranging in foliar, in their foliar symptom reaction. And then our subplots, or our experimental unit, was two inoculation treatments, our non-inoculated control as well as inoculated. And inoculation was performed by taking oat grain and infesting it with the pathogen and placing that in the furrow at the time of planting. All plots were consisted of two rows spaced 76 centimeters apart and were approximately six meters long and were seeded at 345,000 seeds per hectare. For the data collection, I went out and made weekly disease ratings, beginning with when we first saw foliar symptoms begin to develop, and that was approximately at R5, and then I continued those ratings up until R7. Each time I went out, I collected disease incidence, and I also collected a disease severity score using this table here on the right, which is a scale from 1 to 9. And then using those two values, we can calculate a disease index, which is a unitless number from 0 to 100, which incorporates both of those with both of those ratings. And finally, using the disease index values, we calculated the area under the disease progress curve to give us an idea of how disease more developed over time. And finally, we collected yield data, and all yield was adjusted to 13% moisture content. For data analysis, I did mixed model analysis of variance using ProcGlymix and SAS. Models were constructed and analyzed individually by year. For the yield, planting date, cultivar, and inoculation, and all their interactions were considered fixed effects. And then I have the random effects listed there as well. Now for the SDS ratings, we did not have any symptoms develop in our control plots, so I removed the inoculation treatment from the analysis. And then disease incidence, disease index, and the area under disease progress curve ratings were transformed using the equation listed there. And then the back transform values are what I'm going to be presenting today. And then the disease severity results were analyzed using the multinomial distribution. And finally, fixed effects were tested for significance at the 5% level. So for the results, I'm going to first present the rating results first, followed by the yield results, and then I'm going to do that by year because I don't have a whole lot of time. I'm only going to present the disease index and area under disease progress curve results. And for those two rating parameters, we had a significant cultivar by planting date interaction. So on here on the left, we have our disease index results. We have cultivar on the x-axis, and that's just sorted in alphabetical order. And with disease index on the y-axis. Our first planting date is here in black, followed by our second planting date in blue, and then our third planting date is gray. Real quickly, for each cultivar, there was no difference between the first and second planting date in terms of disease development. But within the third planting date, we saw very little symptoms develop. And as we would expect, you see here a lot of differences in terms of the amount of symptoms that did develop, which was what we were expecting. I've also will include here on some of the next graphs an asterisk, and this is just going to indicate that these values are not statistically different from the highest value. And just to give you a little quick background on some of these cultivars, this is a mix of Monsanto and Pioneer cultivars. This Channel 2105 and this Pioneer 9251 had the best SDS ratings from both companies, respectively. And then this Asgrove 2531, this Channel 2305, and this Pioneer 92Y32, some of the lowest SDS ratings. And then, so our results reflect that we had higher disease developed in those cultivars that had the lower ratings. The area under disease progress curve results were very similar overall compared to the disease index. For each cultivar, there was no difference between the first and second planting date. And we can see here our cultivars which had the highest amount of disease developed were, again, those three cultivars that I mentioned that had the lowest SDS ratings. So we'll keep those three cultivars in mind as we move into the yield results. So for yield, we had a planting date by inoculation interaction. So here on the x-axis of our graph, we have our three different planting dates with yield on the y-axis. Our control plots are outlined in blue, and our inoculated plots are outlined in red. As we would expect, as we delay planting, we saw decreased yields. In terms of the yield difference, in the first planting date, we had the yield difference was 720 kilograms per hectare, about 17%. In the second planting date, it was a little bit more. It was closer to 20% yield difference. And as you remember, I mentioned that there was no difference in terms of disease development between the first and second planting dates. But as you can see here, overall, our average yields were higher in that first planting date. Something that was pretty interesting in 2013, even though we had very little symptom development in that third planting date, we still had a 400 kilogram per hectare yield difference, or about a 12% yield loss from where we inoculated. The other significant result we had in 2013 was just the cultivar main effect, but before I get into that, I just wanted to quickly mention about the cultivar by inoculation interaction. Although it was not significant, all 10 cultivars had lower yields in our inoculated plots, and the yield loss from those ranged from 410 to 790 kilograms per hectare, or about 11 to 22%. So for our cultivar main effect, again, we have cultivar on the x-axis. As you can see, these varieties with the asterisks were not statistically different from the highest value. For our two cultivars that had the good SDS ratings, this Channel 2105 and this Pioneer 92x51, they had the highest yields, as we would hope. But also two of our three cultivars that showed the highest amount of disease symptoms, this Asgrow 2531, Asgrow 2531 and this Channel variety also had some of the highest yields. So that was 2013. In 2014, again, for disease index and our area under the disease progress curve, we had a significant cultivar by planting day interaction. Again, we have disease index in the graph here on the left and our cultivars on the bottom. In our three different planting dates, In 2014, we had overall about a similar amount of symptom development as in 2013, although just on average, just slightly lower. But for the second and third planting dates, we had very little symptom development. And again, a couple of our cultivars that had some of the lowest SDS ratings, again, had the highest amount of disease symptoms. And that's also, again, reflected in the area under the disease progress curve results, with this Channel 2305 variety having the highest amount of area under the disease progress curve. And keep that cultivar in mind, as we go into the yield results. In 2014, we had another planting date by inoculation interaction. This is a similar graph to the one I presented before. However, in 2014, our yields on average were lower compared to 2013. However, the trend here is still pretty similar to what we saw in 2013. As we delay planting, we saw decreased yields. And even though we had overall pretty similar amount of symptom development, although slightly lower, we did see in that first planting date a lower amount of yield loss. It was still about 12%. In the second planting date here, again, if you remember, I mentioned that there were very little symptoms that developed in the second and third planting date. In the second planting date, even though there were low amounts of symptoms, we did have a 9% yield decrease. And another thing I would like to point out is that the yield here in our control plot from our second planting date yielded the same as our inoculated plot in our first planting date. And then finally, in our third planting date, we did not have a difference for our inoculation treatment. In 2014, we did have a cultivar by inoculation interaction. Five of our cultivars, there was no difference between the cultivar and inoculated plots. But for the other five cultivars, we did see a lower amount of yield in our inoculated plots. And the yield loss for those five cultivars ranged from 260 to 410 kilograms per hectare, or about 10 to 13%. And then I have those five cultivars outlined here with the red boxes. And in terms, there's two things I kind of want to point out. Again, we would expect yield differences among these cultivars. Our cultivar that had the good SDS rating, had pretty high yields overall, but on average, our cultivar, our channel 2305, that had the highest amount of symptoms developed, also on average, had the highest yields this year. So in conclusion, delaying planting date decreased foliar symptom development. And those cultivars that had the highest amount of symptom development, that didn't always translate into having the lowest yield. And as I showed you there, several of our cultivars that had the highest amount of symptoms development also had some of the highest yields. Our yield loss was highest in our early planting dates overall when looking at both years. However, the earliest planting dates also had the highest yields, even though it had the greatest amount of symptom development. So these results suggest to choose a cultivar with high yield potential. If you can choose a cultivar that has a good SDS rating, that'd be even better, and then to take that cultivar and plant it early. So real quickly for some future work, I mentioned that prior to this growing season, we didn't have any seed treatment options available that had good efficacy on this pathogen. However, this past growing season, Bayer released a product marketed as iLevo with flupyrim as the active ingredient, and it is labeled for protection against Fusarium virgiliforme. And so if our recommendation is to plant early and plant into conditions that might be favoring disease or favoring infection, can we use this fungicide treatment in those earlier planting dates and help reduce SDS development and try and increase yield? And there's more research being done on that. We've been doing some in Wisconsin this past growing season. I have that some of those results from this past year summarized in a poster that I'll be presenting in a couple hours. As well as, I know, talking to Nathan, there's been some work done in Nebraska as well as several other states. So with that, I would like to thank the members of the Conley program, my advisor, Sean Conley, our technicians, John Gaska, Adam Roth, and grad students, Adam Gaspar, Ethan Schmidt, and Marion Lund for their help in the field. And I'd also like to thank Dr. Damon Smith and Dr. Carol Gross for their help with some of the statistical analyses, as well as the inoculum preparation. And a big thank you to the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board for funding this research. And finally, thank you all for your attention. And if you have any time, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We don't have any time for questions, but if you want to hang around for the business meeting, we can.